Okay, morning again, everyone. As I said earlier, for those of you that arrived a little bit late, Andre and Sonika send their love. They'll be with us during the course of the week to come. And we had a great time at the Convergence. Who was all there? That's, yeah, just put your hand up. Give God a shout. Okay, you can see they charged up, but it was great. We really were inspired by very gifted people that brought God's word. But the theme was basically, I would say, from my perspective, two parts. It was about loving God and loving others. It's about people. That's what God calls us to, love Him and love others. And so we enjoyed it. So I encourage you for next year already. It's going to be in October, I think the 5th and 6th, to already start saving up or get there, because there was smallish group, but next year hopefully more can attend. Okay, so I'm just going to open up in prayer and just thank God for the offering too. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to earn wealth. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you open up doors for us financially, in our businesses, in our workplace. So, Father, we honor you with our finances this morning, and we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you use it for the extension of your kingdom. And Father, this morning, as I speak about a relentless generation, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will meet us where we're at. There's people here this morning that have had a great week. They're on the mountaintop. There's other people that are here this morning, Father, that are far from you and haven't had a great week, that have been tested, that have been challenged, and they're on the bottom of the valley. But Father, what I know is that you will meet each person at their point this morning. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak through me. Lord, that these won't be my words, but they will be your words. And I just worship and honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited this morning. I hope you are. If we can start with I'm going to speak about relentless generation. That's what God's calling us to. And this morning, maybe you're a person sitting here and you have a relationship with God. You are a Christian. God wants us to relentlessly pursue Him. And maybe you're here this morning and your relationship with God is strained. Or maybe you don't have a relationship with God. But believe me, He's relentlessly pursuing you. And that's basically the crux of my message this morning. That He's going to meet you where you're at. And how He wants us to relentlessly pursue Him. Now the term, a description, an attitude or a posture, if we look at relentless, what does it mean? It means resolute, firm in purpose, persistent, never gives up, unyielding, never gives in. How do we define a person that is relentless? Listen to this, and I'm going to bring a little bit of my life story afterwards to it. You are adamant. Some of you out there, you're quite adamant, I'm sure. You're rigorous. You're uncompromising. You don't compromise. You're unstoppable. Where's the Bulldog players this morning? Only the coaches here, eh? You're unstoppable. You're tenacious. You're dogged. You're gritty. You're gritty. Go like that. You're gritty. You're steadfast. You're steadfast. And that's being relentless, resolute, persistent, unyielding. And that's what God requires from us, relentless spirit. And I want to just take you back about, 23 years ago. I finished school in 1989. And I was one of the unfortunate people. Yo, I look quite good there, eh? Very thin. Sure, I don't know what happened to me after 23 years. If we can just page on there, I went to Oudtshoorn. That's our passing out parade. And the next one, followed by the next one. And I want you to hold on the last one coming up. That's my dad with me. And there, bit of a Tom Cruise lookalike, or so they said. Yo, when I saw those pictures again this week, I thought, no. My Lord, what's happened to me after 23 years? But yeah, it was a great time. But army teaches you to be relentless. You have to persist. You know, I got called up to basics, and I could choose to just become a cook or a driver. By the way, who actually went to army here in the... Okay, only a few of us, sure. So it'd be a nice story for the rest of you. Yeah, you could choose. You know, you could choose what you could do. But I chose to go to infantry school, which was in Oudtshoorn. And basically a day consisted of this. Training to be a lieutenant. It was quite an intense six-month course. And the day started at 4 o'clock in the morning with some little twerp swearing at you or chucking cold water on you and telling you all different things about your mother that you never knew. But that was basically the army, you know. It taught you to push through. And these boots, I wore them through that six-month period. And they're quite heavy. I think if JP stands up, they're half his weight. Just stand up and... But these boots give you things called blisters. And I remember coming out on pass, and my mom and Lee, my wife, would sit me down, and they'd bring a bowl out, and they'd bring some warm water, and they'd pour meths in, and they'd treat my feet, because my feet were just finished, you know. But we had to be tenacious. We had to be dogged. We got yacht up this berg and around that hill, and we were in the Swartberg Mountains there. And it was quite a long process, but it made us look to the goal. The goal was to be a lieutenant. The goal was to achieve something. The goal was to make army worth your while, not just sit around and do nothing. And it taught me something in life. This is not going to be too spiritual, but it taught me to come out of my mother's apron. And sometimes that's what we have to do too. You know, we have to stand up and be men to be able to take the challenges of life. But basically, being steadfast and relentless through it, you get a few things. You get this belt. And this belt symbolizes the best of South Africa at that time. In 1990, this was an infantry school belt that you only got if you passed the course. If you became a lieutenant, you were able to wear this belt. And you got something else. This was the main prize, this little star. This little star enabled you to eat with the officers. Wow. You can see it didn't do me well 23 years later. And it gave you all privileges. It wasn't like the under officers, you know, the corporals and the sergeants. They would be the ugly ones, waking you up, putting the cold water over you, chasing you around. Lieutenants were prestigious. They were good men. They were officers, not under officers. But it just shows you that if you're relentless, and I'm not boasting, you know, it's just that if you push through, if you know that there's a goal and you push through to it, there's a reward at the end of the day. Now imagine with me for a moment that you agree with the statement. How we finish is more important than how we begin. How we finished is more important than how we begin. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, if you've got your Bibles there, you can turn there. It's just the one verse. I'm going to be going through quite a few verses. It says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. The end of the matter is better than its beginning. Finishing strong is better than starting strong. Starting strong and finishing weak in the Christian life doesn't get you across the end line. Finishing strong is better than starting strong. We're going to show a clip now of Peter Van Ketz. And he, through the video, you'll see how he had to push beyond the boundaries of a relentless physical and spiritual limits. Peter Van Ketz shared with us last year, he's an adventurer, and I hope this inspires you, because it's about pushing beyond. He's a Christian too, and everything that he does brings glory and honor to God. So we're just going to watch the clip, okay? You know that amazing feat of his to the South Pole? It may be fine, you saw 24 days, 888 kilometers, but it was done in what type of weather? It was done in minus 45 degrees. Anyone been in that type of weather before? Minus 45. So it's the same as us. It's our pursuit of God, our relentless pursuit of him. There's a goal line there. Just like their goal was the South Pole, It actually wasn't so fancy. It was just a ball there that they put the flag up in that. But our pursuit is to get to that end line where God says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. It's to pursue, to push through, to persevere, to be relentless after God. Yeah, you know, in our pursuit of God and in our relentless pursuit of Him, do we feel like giving up sometimes? I'm sure Peter, during that time, it came, even though he's mentally very strong, sometimes adversity comes and things come in our life and we feel like giving up. Not so, we do. Do we have storms and dark periods within our lives? For sure we do. Do we sometimes feel like the finish line is just far too way out there? I'm just not going to get there. It happens. But 2 John 8 says the following. It's a warning to us. It says, watch out so that you do not lose the prize for which we have been working so hard. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. Watch out so that you do not lose the prize for which you have been working so hard. Be diligent so that you will receive your full reward. The bottom line is to finish life well requires that we live life well. To finish life well requires that we live life well. And this certainly includes knowing how to never give up. It means having a relentless spirit. Matthew 10:22 in the Message says the following, and I love this one. Don't quit. Don't cave in. It is well worth it in the end. Don't quit. Don't cave in. It is well worth it in the end. And quitting takes on many different forms in our life. Most often it's rooted in compromise. And this is not a negative message at all. But it's compromise that happens in our lives. And we have to be careful about that. And I'm going to share a personal testimony about that. But before that, before I went on the mission team, that was our Mumbai missions team, eh? Where's the Mumbai team? Give us a shout. Delayed shout. But before we actually went on the mission, a few years prior, in about 2004, I went on a mission to Japan and we planted a church there. And I was just wrestling with certain things in my own life where I've had sort of this journey of mountaintops and valley times. And I remember going to Japan and how G'd up I was and how spiritually ready I was and I could just do everything. I could conquer the world. And the same happened with the lead up to the Mumbai mission. And I was wrestling with this. I was saying to God, you know, I don't understand why sometimes in life I'm not as G'd up as what I am then. I'm being honest with you now, you know, in those times, in those periods of life. And God brought me through a few things and He answered them in a way by sort of letting me go into the bookshop and pick up this book. This book is by John Bevere and it's called Relentless, Never Giving Up. But basically what God revealed to me, He said, Rion, you have to relentlessly pursue me. And I don't do that when things are good, when things are bad, I don't. It doesn't matter about my circumstance. He said to me specifically, in all circumstances, no matter if you failed or not, relentlessly pursue me. And I want to read what he says in this book. So just bear with me. It's about a page and a half, but I feel it's very important for the message this morning. And John Bevere had a vision, and I want you to see where you are and which of these boats you're in. He had this vision, and it says the following. A man was rowing a boat. This is the vision that he had. A man was rowing a boat against the river's strong current. He was straining hard to advance against the flow of the water. A tough task, but doable. Other boats, bigger and more luxurious and containing parties of people, frequently passed him flowing downstream. The people on these boats were laughing, drinking, and at ease. Occasionally, they would look over at the man battling the current and mock him. He had to fight for every inch of progress while they did very little, so absolutely nothing for theirs. They were just flowing with the current. After a while, the man grew very weary of pressing against the current. Tired and discouraged, he put up his oars. For a few moments, he continued to drift upstream because the momentum propelled him forward. But soon he came to a standstill. Then something sad and terrible happened. Though still pointing upstream, his rowboat began to drift downstream with the current. Soon the man noticed another party boat. This one was different from the other party boats, for like his own boat, this party boat was also pointing upstream, yet was flowing downstream with the current. This boat also carried people who were laughing, socializing, and at ease. Since it was pointing upstream, the direction that the man had wanted to go, he decided to hop on and join that boat. They now became a close-knit group. Unlike the other party boats, they faced and traveled downstream, but their boat pointed upstream. But sadly, it continued flowing downstream with the current. Now, this is the interpretation of this vision that God gave him. The river represents the world, and the rowboat is a human body that enables us to live and function in this world. The man in the rowboat is a believer. His oars symbolize God's unmerited grace. The party boats depict those joined in one purpose, and the river's current represents the flow of this world, which is under the sway of the evil one. By the oars of grace, the man has the ability to resist the current and move upstream to his destiny in advancing the kingdom of God. His physical strength represents his faith. Sadly, his strength wanes and he grows weary of the fight. He doesn't think he has what it takes when he really does. Consequently, he eventually runs out of steam and quits. Once the man quits rowing, the boat continues moving upstream, the forward momentum for a short time. And this is where deception moves in. He still sees some fruit in his life, even though what produced it no longer propels him. He erroneously thinks he can live at ease, no longer alert and vigilant, and still lead a successful Christian life. Finally, the boat comes to a standstill and then it begins to drift backwards downstream, slowly at first, but eventually at the same speed as the current. Here's the telling part of the vision. While this boat is still pointed upstream, he drifts backwards with the current. Listen to this. This is closing off. He now has the appearance of Christianity. He knows the talk, the songs, and the mannerisms of the kingdom, but in reality, he is conforming to the ways of the world. It's quite makes you think of where we're flowing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the Message says the following: test yourself to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Isn't that great? If you fail the test, do something about it. We have to examine our own lives, where we are with God, where we're flowing in that stream. My personal testimony a little bit with compromise. And I know my wife's going to be sweating now. I won't go too deep, okay? But yeah, about four years ago, it's a little bit emotional, but I must just push through. About 4 years ago, I was running a successful business and in Queenstown, and compromise set into my life. But the thing about compromise is it starts off small and it's sort of a gray area. And you think you're doing it for the right reasons, but you know ultimately it's wrong and it's maybe not what the Word of God says, but it's not that bad. But the thing is, compromise separates you from God. It starts off gray, but it is black, because there is no gray in the kingdom. It's white or black. And compromise brings that wedge where it separates you from God. And at the end of the day, it never gets better until you face up to it, until you hit it head on and do something about it. And that's what basically happened. So after 20 or so years of working and building up everything that we had, we basically lost, and I lost my job also. But it's not about the stuff, it's about the lesson here. And the lesson is not, the lesson is pushing through the compromise, but the lesson's also about standing up afterwards. It's about in life, we all make mistakes. We all sometimes compromise. And you could be sitting there today compromising in certain areas, and you know it's not right. It's to do something about it. Don't let that compromise fester and get bigger and bigger, and the next thing, you're flowing downstream completely. Yes, you know the good things. You can say the right things. But where's your heart? And God took me through that period, and I'm standing here today, 4 years later, never happier than what I was before. Never happier. Never more content in myself, never more content in God than I have ever been. And I'm with you lovely people, my family. And it's so beautiful to stand up here and be totally open and honest about everything and not have to worry about it because you are my family. And that's why God gives us each other, that we are family. We're there to encourage each other, to lift each other up. And we go through these challenges for a reason, to come back and share about them and say there is victory in Christ. Because God is the restorer. If there's one thing I can tell you this morning, is God restores. He is the restorer. He's the builder of the bridge. Amen. And you here this morning, maybe you don't have a relationship with God. But don't ever think that God has given up on you. He relentlessly pursues you with all costs. If you look at the cross, with all costs, He pursues you. No matter your circumstances, your failure, or your compromise, He constantly pursues you by saying, I will never give up on you. And I can back this up in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:9 in the Message says the following: God, who got you started in the spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of His Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Let's repeat that together. I think it should be up there. 1, 2, 3. God, who got you started in the spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of His Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. Because Satan will want to come there and remind you and say, yeah, you're too far gone, but he'll never give up on you. And the skit, I've got 3 guys and 1 girl that I've pre-planned to come up for a skit. Where are you? Annette. I was praying that Annette would come because she's a tough lady. All the other ladies are tough too, but she's really tough. She was on missions with me. Okay, what we're going to demonstrate here. Come, guys, don't be shy. Let's just kneel down like I showed you. A little bit together. Okay. I've got a reward for you guys, so don't worry. Okay, I've got a chocolate. And I've got something for Annette too. Okay, but basically what these guys are going to represent, and we're going to get the young people just vocalizing a little bit now and cheering on. The guys represent the distractions in our life. These are the distractions. All the young ladies say for sure. But they are mountains and they are difficult times and that type of thing. I'm going to pretend to be God on the other side, and Annette's going to push through. She's going to have to persevere. She's going to have to be relentless to get through this tunnel. Form the tunnel. So Annette's going to go through there. But once she goes through there, they're going to put a bit of pressure on her, because life's going to put pressure. So Annette, you're going to have to persevere in there. You must hold her. Okay, so we're just going to do this a little bit. Let's just come on, Annette, you can do it. Just put a bit of pressure on us a little. So God's here saying, Annette, you can do it. And sometimes she's failing. Sometimes she's battling. She's battling to get through. And she can't really get through. But then she does. Come on, Annette. And God's there saying, come on, come on, come on. Yeah. The finishing line. There's something for you guys. Annette, there's something for you, yeah? You're not going away empty-handed, you know? I love to give presents, says yours, okay? Bless you. Psalm 23:6 says, "Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life." It's a beautiful verse in the Message. Psalm 23:6, "Your beauty and love chase after me every day of your life." God is revealing to me astounding truths that He's never given up on me. He's continuously pursued me with His relentless love, His radical love. And our pursuit of Him is important, but most important is our response for His relentless pursuing us, because He first loved us. And in closing, I'd like to just challenge us and answer two questions. Why we should never give up, and why we must remain relentless in our pursuit of God. If you've got your Bibles here, this is a bit of a longer scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. And we know this scripture quite well. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. It says, "Do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last, but we do it to get the crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And in there, there's three factors. If we go on to the next slide, it's the purpose. In that scripture, there's a purpose, there's a plan, and there's a prize. And the same with us in our lives. There's a purpose, there's a plan, and there's a prize at the end of the day. And the purpose is this: we run to get the prize. We run to get the prize. We don't run aimlessly. We run because there's a prize. We run straight to the goal. We look ahead. We don't become weary in doing good and loving others. We want to do it more. We want to love others. It's about people, loving others. We don't become weary. We never give up. It's part of the purpose, and we press on. And then the plan. We discipline our body. We subject to training. We sow to please the Spirit. We use all the armor of God to resist the enemy. We forget the past. We strain towards what is ahead. We endure hardship. We follow the Lord's rules. And as an athlete, we must do that in order to win. And the prize. The prize is we will receive a heavenly prize for which God calls you heavenward for. A crown that will last forever. We will reap eternal life. We will reap eternal life. A relentless generation. Okay, just as the worship team starts playing, let's just spend a bit of time in His presence now. Let's just close our eyes. Worship You. Just want to be obedient to the Spirit as He leads me now. Father, we thank You that You relentlessly pursue us. Relentlessly pursue us. Relentless love You have for us. And as I was praying during the week, I just believe there's people here this morning that have been living a lie, thinking that there's no God, or God's cross with me. God doesn't love me. I've been too bad. He doesn't relentlessly pursue me. I know there's people like that here this morning. As you can feel God and the Holy Spirit pounding on your chest as your heart races right now. As everyone's eyes are closed, as we concentrate on God, as we come into His presence. If that's you this morning, that you don't have a relationship with God, feel maybe that God's let you down, that He's not pursuing you, God's saying, I am. I love you. I am relentlessly pursuing you. This message was for you. For you. And if that's you this morning, I want you to acknowledge that. As all the eyes are closed, you're acknowledging it before the Father. I just want you to lift your hand in response to that right now. And thank you for that hand. And then as I'm praying during the week, there's other people too that maybe feel that they, on that journey of relentlessly pursuing God, they've sort of missed the boat. Their intention is good. Their boat's pointing upstream, but the current's taking them down. And you're sitting in that boat, and that boat is a boat of compromise in certain areas within your life. And you just want to acknowledge that, and you want to say, sorry, God, and you want to say, God, I relentlessly from now on pursue you. I look to the goal. The distractions around, I put off. And if that's you this morning, respond to the Father by just lifting your hand also and acknowledging Him. And we thank you for those hands, Lord. Thank you for those hands. We worship you this morning.